Do you believe that God wants you healthy? Then join me, Cersei Blue, and Gigi Carter on the Healthy for My Purpose podcast, where we help you realize the relationship between your health and your purpose. We share how eating like Daniel can revolutionize your life. Through discussions and interviews, we challenge you to discover the powerful connection between plant-based nutrition, your body, and your faith. It's time. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Healthy for My Purpose. I'm so excited about this episode because it's one that I think will resonate with a lot of people if you've ever struggled with exercise, or if you've been exercising and you haven't seen the fruit of your labor, then this episode is going to be for you. I know for me, for many years, you know, I used to think that I could exercise a bad diet. And I remember getting so frustrated in the gym or working out and saying, why isn't things changing? And I wasn't connecting the fact that my exercise was connected to my diet. So Gigi and I really exposed the myth around exercise and what role it actually plays in our overall health, but also what role it doesn't play, in the sense that no matter how you flip it, you cannot out-exercise a bad diet. So without further ado, let's jump in. Okay, welcome back to another episode of Healthy for My Purpose. We're going to talk about a topic that I think is a good one, because so many people fall into this myth, and there's a part of you that feels like it can, you know, because you're working so hard, this can happen. But the title of our episode today is You Can't Out-Exercise a Bad Diet. And for many of the people who are hearing this, you might be like, oh no, you know, because sometimes we think that we can work really hard in the gym, and then that gives us a license to eat whatever we want, and then we're going to get this perfect synergy of health and losing weight. And it actually does not work that way. And so we're going to peel back the layers, or the, you know, open the trunk and find out why that method doesn't work, even though it feels like you're working so hard that it should kind of make you be able to eat what you want, but it really is an imbalance. So Gigi, you wanted to start off with, you know, why does this not work? Like, if you're really putting out all this energy and, you know, running your hour on the treadmill, why doesn't it balance out when you go and have that, you know, burger and fries and a soda? Why does it not balance out?
Yeah. And there's, you know, there are several reasons why, but I'll just say, you know, being a cyclist and, riding with different groups, it really hits home for me, because we'll go out for a 2-hour bike ride and come back, and people will just like feel they can eat like an entire like pepperoni pizza, and you know, like a 16 or 32 ounces of Coke to wash it down, and expect to, you know, lose the weight. And so even it doesn't even have to be an hour, it could be 2 hours, it could be, you know, all kinds of, you know, different exercises, HIIT workouts, it could be, you know, running, whatever the case is, it doesn't work over time. And one of the big reasons is because, you know, caloric imbalance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you talk about losing weight, there is kind of a calorie equation that comes into play in terms of calorie intake versus calorie expenditure. And if you consume more calories than what your body needs, regardless of the exercise, you may still gain weight or struggle to lose weight. And so a lot of times when you talk about eating after a hard workout, whether it's an hour or 2 hours or whatever, a lot of times it involves eating foods that are like super processed and very unhealthy, high in saturated fat, you know, and calories are, you know, kind of correlated to how much fat is in the meal, just because there are 9 calories per gram of fat. So if you're eating like fries and burgers with cheese and bacon on it after a workout, the calories add up like really, really fast. And so, you know, let's just say, for example, you're running for about an hour, you know, you're probably going to burn, you know, depending on how hard you're running and all of that, you're going to burn somewhere between 400 to 500, maybe 600 calories in an hour of running. It's easy to like head over, you know, to the local pizza store and eat a, you know, like a whole pizza and take in like well over 1,000, 1,500 calories, depending on how big that pizza is. Mm-hmm. And so you've kind of basically washed out the calorie burn that you just did with the run and replaced it with that pizza. And the thing is that, you know, a lot of times that's not the only meal that you eat in the day, right? So it'll be like what you eat after the workout, and then you'll eat whatever you would normally eat for dinner later on. So you're kind of moving into that calorie surplus range, or at least staying neutral. And if you're trying to lose weight, it's going to be really hard to do so. So calorie imbalance is really one of the main reasons why you can't out-exercise a bad diet.
Yeah. And just to go back to the calorie, just to talk a little bit more about this, I think there's a part of it too, is that we overestimate the amount of calories we're burning, and then we underestimate the amount of calories we're eating. Mm-hmm. Just intuitively, like if you ask somebody, how much did you burn? You feel like you've been working so hard. So in your mind, you feel like it's way more. Sometimes you look on your Fitbit or whatever, and you just burnt 300 calories, but it feels like 1,000. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. You know, it's like, I must have burned. And you're like, what? Only 350, 400 calories, but it feels like you're burning more. And then on the other side, on the food side, a lot of times people underestimate the amount of calories they're actually eating a day. Like yeah. You said, you could, when you eat one of those fast food burgers and fries or whatever, those, you know, rich processed foods, you could 1,500-1,700 calories easy. You know, yeah. I know that when you start going to the restaurants, they start putting the calories on the dishes now, where they never used to do that before. And I think that's a game changer, because I remember going to a restaurant and you're seeing 1700, 1850. There was no way that if they didn't put that on there, that you would have thought that this meal was going to be that much. Yeah. And I think a lot of us get sucked into this daily just by eating and not realizing, wait a minute, I'm really eating a lot more calories than I think. And the exercise that I'm doing is not really burning as much as I think either. And so we're overestimating and underestimating on both sides. And it's the perfect storm for us to think that we can out-eat or out-exercise a bad diet.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm glad you're explaining it, that when you actually look at the numbers, they don't match.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, if you, you know, if you're trying to lose weight and you are running and you are exercising, one of the best things you can do after you exercise is eat, but eating the right food. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things to eat after a hard workout, and you know this, Cersei, because I've gone live with it within our mm-hmm. Facebook group, is like a huge like rainbow salad. And I add protein to it by adding, you know, things like quinoa and beans or lentils to it. And not only does it refuel me in terms of replacing my glycogen stores, if I've really had a long endurance type workout, but it also rehydrates me and it gives me the protein to repair muscle. And so, you know, eating something like a large salad with beans, or any kind of dish that has, you know, beans and vegetables in it is really a great way to add, you know, fuel back in, but do it in a healthy way that'll aid in either weight loss or maintaining a healthy weight. And that kind of feeds into the second reason why you can't outrun a bad diet, which is the nutritional composition. Because, you know, a bad diet is typically lacking essential nutrients, including things like fiber and antioxidants, as well as like the non-nutritive kind of compounds, like, you know, that we call them phytochemicals. And, you know, those are things that really not only help you from a tissue standpoint in terms of reducing inflammation in your body and stopping oxidative stress and fighting free radicals, but it also, you know, helps with boosting your immune system, which is, you know, certainly very important. So when you're eating these highly processed foods or buying that junk food after you're working out, you're missing out on some important, typically micronutrients that your body needs for it to be healthy. So again, when we talk about foods that are high in fiber and these micronutrients, it really does come down to eating whole plant foods. So again, we're talking about leafy greens, a rainbow of different vegetables, legumes, whole grains, intact whole grains, preferably. So those are all things that will help you to meet those nutritional needs as well.
And I think it also is a red flag. Like if you're someone that exercises and then says, okay, what can I eat because I've earned to eat something bad? That's a red flag, because really the way it should really work when you're kind of moving towards optimal health is that your mindset would be, I just exercised, therefore I don't want to ruin what I did and I want to eat something healthy. And that's the paradigm shift mentally that has to happen for you to kind of get out of that idea that exercising gives me the license to just eat something that I know I couldn't have eaten if I wasn't exercising. You know, it's changing your mindset that I've exercised, so now I've done something positive for my health. So I want to continue with that by adding something that's healthy after I exercise, rather than seeing it as a reason to eat something unhealthy. It can also be a reason to eat something healthy, because you just did all this work, you just exercised, you want to replenish your body like you're talking about, and give yourself all the nutrients that it's need after it exerted itself. And so sometimes it's about saying, well, how can I shift my mindset around exercise and not seeing it as something to get over, but something to help me get over into a long-term healthy lifestyle as a supplement.
Yeah.
It's a mindset shift.
It really is. And I think, you know, I'm glad that you said that, because I was one of those people who would say, oh, I worked out so I can go eat whatever I want. And then when you peel the onion back on that thought process, if you have new information to say, okay, that's not the right thing to do, and you still do it, then you start to, you know, you might want to question, you know, do I have an unhealthy attachment to these unhealthy foods? Like, is there a little bit of an addiction situation going on or whatever? In which case, you know, it's something to kind of dig into. And I know we talk about that a lot in our bootcamp, but, you know, if you're hearing this, if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, wow, I didn't really think about it that way and I need to change it, and you can go change it. Awesome. Go change it. But if you can't change it, if you're just really struggling to change it, then, hey, I'm going to put in a plug for our boot camp. So sign up for that.
We'll put it in the show notes, guys. But yeah, jump into that, because a lot of it is mindset. Like, is exercise a tool to help you on your health journey, or are you seeing it as a tool to get over and try to eat unhealthy? And that's where, you know, the two lanes split. Everybody's exercising, but again, what is your reason behind exercising? And I think once we kind of get to that, so what's another reason why you can't exercise a bad diet?
The next one would be metabolism and satiety. So different foods will influence our metabolism and feeling of fullness and satisfaction differently. So when you're eating a diet that's high in refined, you know, carbohydrates like donuts and cookies and cakes and that kind of thing, you know, your body will respond with a blood sugar spike and then a subsequent crash. And all that does is lead to more cravings. And so you can never really satisfy yourself, because you're always kind of, you're constantly eating these things. That's, again, your body telling you that you're not giving it the nutrients it needs. Whereas if you do eat a diet that's, you know, rich in fiber and antioxidants, so these are whole plant foods, you know, things like beans and lentils and peas and vegetables, mushrooms, whole grains, fruits and whatnot, you know, I think I mentioned mushrooms, that these are foods that will help you to regulate your blood sugar. It will increase your feeling of fullness, because it does influence hormones, that influence hunger and satiety, and you'll have a healthier metabolism for it. So, you know, you can't just use exercise to overcome that. You really have to make sure that you're fueling your body with the right foods, to make sure that you have a good metabolism and that you're feeling full off of the food that you're eating.
Yeah. And I think too, I think exercise, the way that it's advertised, I think we have to kind of get into that a little bit, is kind of advertised as the be all and end all. Like when you watch, you know, different shows or, you know, fitness gurus online or whatever, it comes off as though if you want to lose weight, if you want to get healthy, exercise is the number one thing you got to do. But you've spoken about this before, Gigi, and talked about exercise is definitely a healthy thing that we need to do. But if you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to reverse a chronic health issue, you get a lot of benefits from the gym, but the real healing is in the kitchen. It's right. What you eat on a daily basis. And a lot of times we have that flipped. We think it's exercise is what's going to get us all the way home. And actually it's a smaller portion percentage wise in the whole picture than it is what you're eating. Like you have people who are unable to exercise and they change what they eat and they are still able to transform their body. Whereas the other way around, you're going resistant against that. It's harder to do that the other way.
Yeah. I mean, and it comes down, and this is kind of the next point, is body composition, you know, because the fat that we eat, you know, is in the form of triglycerides, and that's what we store as body fat. So if you're eating, and just from my own experience, and I've shared this before, you know, with my training schedule, I'm, you know, training hard for 3 weeks, and then I have 1 week recovery where my exercise load really drops like 50% or even less. And then even with the injuries I suffered last year, earlier this year with my knee surgery, my torn meniscus and then having the procedure done, you know, I couldn't exercise. So what I did to maintain my weight was I just watched what I ate. I watched the fat in my food. I'd never counted calories ever. I've always just emphasized eating a variety of whole plant foods that have a low calorie density. You know, so my go back to these salads, my salads are huge. They're ginormous. And I just have a rainbow of different vegetables. I have the beans or lentils, some kind of like quinoa or farro or whatever whole grain. And I just watch the fat that I put into it. And I do a lot of starchy veg. We just got through talking about sweet potatoes, that I eat a sweet potato pretty much every single day, different kind. It'll be a purple one day, an orange another, a white another. You know, I try to mix it up. But the point is that body composition is a function of your diet as well as exercise. Exercise is important, like you said, but the food that you eat will play a huge role in your ability to lose fat and promote, you know, muscle gain. So, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Cause I think there's a hand, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's long-term health benefits, right, to exercising. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. And the studies are solid, and all the agencies, whether you're looking at the American Diabetes Association or Heart Association or the CDC or the World Health Organization, any of those agencies that you're looking at, they all say the same thing, that you have to exercise on a regular basis, like, and you have to be consistent. But, you know, they also talk about the importance of having a healthy diet as part of a long-term health span. And so poor diet can absolutely contribute to, you know, we talked a little bit about weight gain and obesity. We kind of implied obesity, but also things like high blood pressure, high cholesterol. So you could have someone who is exercising a lot, which is good for lowering your blood pressure. But if you're feeding, you know, your body with, you know, fatty, salty foods, you're going to increase your blood pressure. So you're kind of negating the benefit of the exercise with the food, and you're still probably going to have to take blood pressure lowering medication. Whereas if you do both, you have, you know, a much greater opportunity to not have to be on medication if you're doing the exercise and you're fueling your body with the right foods, you know, whole plant foods, that you can basically, you're in a much better position to not have to be on medication or perhaps take a really low dose to manage it. And same thing with things like high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes, which is really a function of insulin resistance. And, you know, diet plays a huge role. We know from the testimonials of the people who go through our program, we see the numbers. Oh, you know, my A1C went down 1 point, 2 point, 3 points, whatever. And so, you know, we see it through the people that we serve. But, you know, again, exercise is important for improving insulin sensitivity, but diet plays a huge role as well. So engaging in regular exercise can help with mitigating the risk of these diseases, but diet, you know, must be a part of that equation as well.
Yes, you can't have one without the other. I think there's a song that sings like that. I can't remember. I'm singing it in my mind. And I'm like, I don't remember the title of it, but you really can't have one without the other. And I think so, you know, if you get anything from this episode, if you're somebody that maybe this exercise is the first step that you've taken to kind of take charge of your health, because sometimes, a lot of times, somebody might sign up for a gym or, you know, it's kind of the easiest thing that they could tangibly do sometimes if they don't know what to do. It's a great, but always know that the next step is always going to be about what am I feeding my body as well, because that's also going to fuel how you show up in the gym. Like we're also everything is kind of, you know, kind of correlated. So
yeah.
So we hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if you thought you could out exercise a bad diet, it really cannot. It doesn't work.
No, and if you are someone who is, you know, likes kind of the competition, like let's say you're an endurance athlete, or let's say you're an aspiring endurance athlete, maybe you're not quite there yet. The best thing you could do is eat more whole plant foods, like eating whole plant foods in your diet. And I say that, and you see a lot of these plant-based athletes out there, the movie Game Changers kind of, you know, highlighted a lot of this, but you see a lot of like high profile athletes who have adopted a plant-based diet. And the reason for that is because they're able to recover faster, because when you are training hard and you're putting your body under stressors that create inflammation. Now keep in mind, this is good inflammation, but it's inflammation nonetheless. That, you know, in order to lower that inflammation quickly, eating these foods has been, you know, really the reason why a lot of people become plant-based athletes. They become plant-based as an athlete, I should say. And what they're experiencing is a quicker recovery. And what's so powerful about that is that when you recover faster, you can train harder and get better quicker. And that's what gives you that edge over the competition. So if you're like me, who's kind of like, you know, a 40 plus, 50 plus person who decides to, you know, take on some kind of an endurance activity, whether it's running or cycling, or triathlons, the best thing you could do is eat whole plant foods to help you recover quicker so you can train harder, get better, and compete at your age, in your age group. So you can, you know, win more medals and more plaques, which is always fun to do. So,
yeah.
Thank you for joining us on the Healthy for My Purpose podcast. We hope you enjoyed the community and are walking away empowered and encouraged to live your healthiest life for your God-ordained purpose. You can connect with us on Facebook and Instagram to enjoy fellowship with like-minded women. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this on iTunes. Until we meet again, keep honoring your body for your purpose.